We are back to Exodus this week. We're in chapter 19. Let's pray as we come to the Word. Father, your Word is truth. We rely on it. We believe in it. We trust it. And Lord, I pray that our hearts and our minds will be open now as we open your Word. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen. I remember a friend of mine once saying to me, and I think he referred to me as an evangelical or something like that. Sometimes people ask me, what do you call yourself? I call myself a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I am evangelical because I believe in the good news. But he said to me, you evangelicals believe that you just put your faith in Jesus and then it doesn't matter what else you do with your life. And let's be clear, as Christians, we do believe that if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are saved. You belong to Jesus. If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, it says in Romans. If you believe, you will not perish but have eternal life. We do believe that. It's about our faith. It's about our heart. But our life matters too. And how we live our life matters too. And what we're going to do today is we're going to look at the holiness of God. And we're looking at Exodus chapter 19. And here's what's going on with the people of Israel. They're getting to know God. They've seen the miracles. They've been delivered from slavery. They've seen what he can do. And now they're getting to know him in a personal relationship. God is about to enter this covenant with the people of Israel. So as we come to chapter 19, we're going to see something of the holiness of God. Exodus 19, beginning with verse 1. And it says this, in the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on the very day they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel encamped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord came to him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the house of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you are to speak to the Israelites. So he is entering in this covenant with his people, this binding agreement, this treaty with God's people. We enter a covenant with God too. We belong to him, and he is our Lord. And so as we think about that statement that person made to me, oh, you just put your faith in Jesus, then you go do whatever you want. Well, no, that's not what happens. That's like saying this. Okay, I entered a covenant of marriage. And I made these vows on our wedding day, and we put the rings on our finger, and then I just said, see you later, and just went and did whatever I want without any care for my spouse. That makes no sense. You're entering this relationship, right? And that's what we do with God. We are entering a relationship, and we do what pleases our Lord. And he refers to the people of Israel as a kingdom of priests and as a holy nation. And in the New Testament, he carries that forward to the church. The church, we are now a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, and we are his treasured possession. I hope you realize that. You are treasured by God. And think about that for a second. You know, sometimes people are feeling down or they're feeling lonely or they're feeling unloved. But let me tell you this. If you believe in Jesus, you are loved by the creator of the universe. You are loved beyond what you can even imagine. I remember this hitting me especially hard. Or not hard in a bad way, but in a good way, when I became a dad, when Bella was born. And I just remember having this feeling, and you moms and dads can relate to this, I cannot believe how much I love this kid. I can't believe it, how I feel about this little person who can't even talk or walk and just cries all the time. I just love this kid. And then it hit me, my father loves me more. And it was just a mind-blowing moment for me. I hope you realize that. You are a treasured possession of God. You are his child. It's just a beautiful thing. And so we are a treasured possession. We're a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And This idea of being a kingdom of priests, a priest is a go-between between God and man. We have this personal relationship with God. We can go directly to him. And I want to look at those two phrases, a kingdom and a holy nation. And I want to start by talking about being part of God's kingdom. Because as part of God's kingdom, here's what it means to be part of a kingdom. There's a king and there's subjects. Okay, we're the subjects, he's the king. And I want you to remember that you are part of God's kingdom more than you are part of anything else. And I think about that especially during this season, this election season. It is probably the strangest and weirdest election season of my lifetime. I don't know if you feel the same way, but that's how I feel. I look at it. And people are frazzled. People are stressed out. What if this person becomes president? What if that person becomes president? Everything's going to go downhill. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. And people are freaking out. And I've heard Christians freaking out. And there are certain big things on the table. For example, there's probably going to be 3 or 4 Supreme Court nominees nominated in the next 4 or 5 years based on the ages of the people that are there. There are big things happening in our country. And people are nervous and scared. But here's one thing I want to say. Jesus is not up for re-election. His term is not ending, ever. He sits on the throne, okay? And I understand we should be politically active, we should vote, we should be involved in our society, but we don't belong to it. We don't belong to the world, we belong to the king. And whatever happens in America, and countries go like this, have ups and downs, whatever happens in America, I still belong to God's kingdom. I am a citizen of heaven. That's what matters most to me. Okay? So chill out. All right? Really, really. Chill out. Pray a lot. Pray hard for your country. Pray hard because some crazy things could be happening. But the Lord reigns. And no matter what happens, he still reigns. You know, I think about people living in the Roman Empire and they probably said, oh, the Roman Empire will never end. Guess what? It did. But the church remained. And Jesus says, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. That's the promise that we have. So we belong to a kingdom. And you know, that isn't actually even the main point of this passage, but I felt like that's where God was leading me to speak about just for a few minutes today. Remember that. But he also says here, you are a holy nation. And Peter repeats that to the church in the New Testament. We are a holy nation. What does that mean to be holy? When we refer to God's holiness, that is God's separateness from his creation and God's commitment to himself. And that seems like a weird thing to say, but here's what it means to be committed to himself. It means he is never defiled by his creation. He is always true to himself. He always does what is good. There's no sin there. And when we talk about human beings being holy, we are committed to God instead of the world. It's like the song we sang today, I've decided to follow Jesus, the world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. I'm going toward Jesus. I am separating myself. And that's what happens with the people of Israel. They're consecrating themselves. They're separating themselves from the world. They're doing these washings. And the washing symbolizes I'm washing the world off of me. Because the world is dirty from a sinful perspective, and we are dirty. And we need to be washed by the blood of Christ. But apart from him, we're not clean. And in Isaiah, it says, our righteous acts are like filthy rags. So think about that. Think about somebody on their best day of their life. It's still filthy in relation to the holiness and purity of God. Right? Without God, we can do nothing good. So remember that. God is holy. And as I was thinking about this, in thinking about the holiness of God, and we read in this passage that the people of Israel were not even to approach this mountain where Moses was going up. Let me read to you a few verses, starting with verse 10. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. And consecrate means to separate, to make holy. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day. Because on that day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, be careful that you do not go up the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. He shall surely be stoned or shot with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on him. Whether man or animal, he shall not be permitted to live. Only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast may they go up to the mountain." So people look at passages like this in the Old Testament, they say, wow, God seems different in the Old Testament versus the New Testament. It seems like God has changed. And I will tell you that God has not changed. What has changed is Jesus has changed things for us. See, they could not approach the holiness of God with their dirty sin. They could not approach. That was not allowed because we have to recognize who God is. He is holy. God is teaching the Israelites who he is. So they cannot approach. But now we can approach God readily, all the time, because Jesus died for those sins. Holiness is life and death. It really is. That's why when God said to Adam and Eve, if you eat from that fruit, you will die. If you sin, that means you're separated from God and you die. So that's why this is such a serious offense. God wants to show them that he is holy, he is pure, he is undefiled. But aren't you grateful that because of what Jesus has done, we can now approach him? We can now come to the Lord without the worry of this? We are sinful people, but our sins are washed. It's a blessing to think about. And here's another question, though, that people ask, and it's in relation to the first question I posed. You can just go do whatever you want. Does it really matter now? Jesus paid for my sin, so does it really matter what I do? Well, Paul asks the question in Romans. And here's the question that he asked, and then he answers it himself. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? So here's the idea. The more I sin, the more God pours his grace down, and God is glorified because he has all this grace. Okay, do you see the logic there? I say logic, it's not real logic. But here's the answer. By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? And then he goes on to say, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Look at that, a new life. It's not like, okay, I put my faith in Jesus. I walked up to the front of a church building one day, and I bowed down and said a prayer, and then I just kept going in the same direction I was going. No. You do that, and some of you have come to faith that way, but I'm hoping something changed there. The direction of your life should change, and it's not like, okay, now I got to obey rules. The direction of your life changes because the Holy Spirit comes into you and changes your life and makes you a different person and gives you new life. So why would we want to go back to that? We died to sin. And Jesus died for our sins. I don't want to keep doing the things that he had to die for. He paid the penalty for me. So we live a holy life, not because we have to, but because the Holy Spirit is in us and changes us. We don't want to go back to that. It'd be like a caterpillar, you know, being changed to a butterfly and saying, I'm just going to walk around from now on. I'm not going to fly. Use those wings, right? Right? Let's get going. Let's live the way the Lord meant us to live. He meant for us to live for him. And I think about what Paul says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So I'm just focused on Jesus. I'm just focused in that direction. I'm going to follow him. But how do we do this? You know, can you make yourself holy? You can't make yourself holy. God can make you holy. How does it start? Maybe you're having trouble with a certain sin or a certain group of sins in your life and you're just having difficulty with this. How do we do this? Well, I want to give you a couple of passages today from Psalms. It starts with humbling yourself and saying, Lord, I'll just say it. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, it's this humble attitude of saying, Lord, you know, if there's something in me that I'm missing, that isn't good, that isn't right, Lord, show it to me and remove it. Take it away. It's this humble attitude of, Lord, I need your help. And I think about what David also says in Psalm 51, and you might know this from a song came from this, Christian song. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. You see, living a holy life isn't just saying, today, from now on, I'm going to just be holy. I'm going to do it myself. You need the Holy Spirit to help you to live holy. And recognizing this, it doesn't earn your way into heaven. It's just evidence that you belong to the King. You belong to the King of holiness when you lead a holy life. But it starts with humility and going to the Lord in prayer. So just some applications to this today. And I have one more scripture to read to you. But here's one application for all of this. Rejoice that you can know a holy God. You don't deserve to know a holy God. His grace came down on us. And it's because of his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness that we can come to him. And don't ever take that for granted. If you're someone who grew up in the church, you know, sometimes there's that tendency to think, you know, okay, I just pray to God, I talk to God, I've been doing it my whole life. Don't take that for granted. That's amazing. It's amazing to think the God of the universe talks to you, listens to you, lives in you, knows you, and it's because Jesus paid the price because we could not live a holy life. And it makes me want to live for him. I hope it does the same for you. And here's the other part of it too. If we are saved, we don't want to take advantage of God's grace and his mercy and his forgiveness. I had somebody say that to me, somebody who came into my office and just said, well, I know it's sin, but I know God will forgive me. All right, that was the moment I pulled all my hair out. It just came right out of my head. That was it. No. If you've been shown this great love and mercy and Jesus died for your sins, we want to live for him. And the holy life is evidence that we have the faith. It doesn't earn us into heaven, but it's evidence. So don't be pulled away by the world, and the world is pulling you away, whether you realize it or not. TV's pulling you away, the internet's pulling you away, your friends are pulling you away. Hopefully not. Hopefully you have godly friends who aren't pulling you away. But the world pulls on you. The enemy pulls on you. Stay focused on Christ. Holiness, it's not what gets you into heaven, but it's evidence that you belong to heaven. And here's the other thing about holiness, and I want to show it to you in this passage from 1 Peter, where Peter quotes Exodus 19, 1 Peter 2:9. But you, that's you, the church, are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. That's what we just read. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You've come out of the darkness into the light. Live in the light. Follow the light. Follow Jesus. And he goes on to say this. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Holiness is a witness to the outside world. We witness with our words. We tell people about Jesus. But your holy life should also be a witness. And if the words don't match your life, they might not listen to your words, right? When it says the pagans here, that what that refers to is people outside of the family of God. We want people who don't believe to see our lives and say, wow, they're different. I remember working with a guy who was very bold when I was in the business world, always talking about Jesus, telling everybody he could about Jesus. And I admired his boldness, much bolder than I was at the time. And I remember one day I came into the office and I said, what happened to him? They said, he got fired. Why did he get fired? Oh, he stole someone else's account and did some shady stuff. And I was like, oh. It just kind of, it ruined the witness. And I remember I had been witnessing to another guy in the office, and he kind of gave me kind of a smirk, like, well, he's a Christian. Like, see what happened? And not to mock this guy that I work with, because I've done the same thing. I've done things that have marred the message of Jesus Christ. I don't want to do that. I want to live in such a way that people look at me and they see the love of Jesus coming through. They want to see that godly life. So your actions, your deeds don't get you into heaven, but they are evidence that you belong to heaven, that you belong to God. We have a holy God. We are a holy nation. We should seek to live a holy life. Let's pray. Father, we praise you that you are holy, that we can depend on you and trust in you, and we know that you'll never let us down. You will always be true to yourself. You will always be good. You will always do what is right. You will always do what you've promised to do. And Lord, may we be people like that. We are a holy nation already. May we continue to be made holy and made more like Jesus. We know that we cannot do this on our own, and we praise you. We praise you that we can know you, and Lord, we praise you that there will come a day when we will be made perfectly holy, when we see you face to face. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.